B-Pod Studios.
Now, more Toucher and Rich. And whatever this is.
This is Dan and Rick Flair and Nepotism.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
What is Toucher and Rich? And as we are settling now on the Celtics finally actually having their first practice yesterday and figuring things out, there was media day on Monday, and John and I went down there, and one of the people we were looking forward to speaking with the most was a guy who kind of made a name for himself, not only for his play during the playoffs, because he did have one or two excellent games, but also because of some of the ways that he described his teammates when he ended up going through a list and naming them after Marvel stars and talking about the many ways in which he gamed or at least invited some of the members of his team to game with him. That, of course, is Grant Williams. And we got a chance to speak to him first at Media Day.
But it's Toucher and Rich, and we are here with a gentleman that I've been wanting to talk to for a while. Just voted to the top 100 players.
Yes.
In the NBA?
That's an honor. It's thankful, but now it's about keeping it up because once you get ranked, you can easily be unranked. So
that's true.
Moving forward.
Well, I will say that as much as I love talking basketball with members of the Celtics, there's something I want to talk about more with you, and that is your love of something that I've heard you profess for a while.
Oh, we got a Catan board. Are we playing right now?
You want to play some Catan?
I have no idea how to play, so you're going to have to teach
what,
us.
I'll take
advantage of you in every trade possible.
Okay.
But I'll definitely teach you.
Okay, all right.
Fair enough.
We're already getting nerdy. Too early in the thing. So, Grant, what is this thing right here? What is it called?
Some people call it Catan. I call it Catan. It's a board game that we played all the time in college that we used to play pregame. Because I always say it got my mental ready, and I took the nerves away from the game. But it's something that I love playing because you can play with four people, three people even. And there's expansion packs where you play with 5-6. Like, you can keep going up. But
okay.
It's a game that it's similar to the concept of, like, trading in principle of Monopoly. But your goal is to get to 10 victory points.
Okay.
You build settlements or cities, which allow you to gain the resources. So
okay.
Like the sheep or brick.
You've lost me already, but it sounds fun.
It's easy to teach.
Let's see what we got.
What's going on here? So now, there are guys in the Celtics who play this with you?
A couple guys actually do play. So I've played with Sam Hauser. I've played with Luke Cornette.
So none of the cool guys.
I'm about to say, JB would play it.
JB's
not a big board game guy.
JB and Jaylen Brown will play this with you?
Yeah, Jaylen Brown will play this.
No way. I'm going to ask him.
When he comes by.
He may at the time say it's nerdy, but I can see him loving the game.
Oh, you can see him or you've played with him.
So I haven't played with him yet, but okay. I haven't asked him to.
Oh, all right. Well, you just made us think that he was part of the crew.
Oh, no. I said he could play this game.
Can I ask him for you? I'll make the first, when he comes in here.
You can ask him for sure. So, like, the principles are right here.
Okay.
So if you see this board, you see how you can build a road with a brick and a wood.
Okay, all right. Ooh, looks like a mighty warrior right here.
Yeah, this is the largest army. So there's cards that we use.
Okay.
Here. All right.
What do you listen to when you play this game? Do you, like, listen to Rush or, you know, some, like, the soundtrack to Dragonheart or something like that?
Hey, listen, you can listen to whatever you want. Because I listen to any type of music, because whether that's jazz, classical, country, rap, R&B, rock, pop.
What's in the cards here? What do we got here?
So, these are the resource cards.
Break open the packs?
I was about to say. So,
victory points.
Yeah, so the principle of victory points. Remember how I said you want to get to 10 victory points?
Okay.
Those are called development cards.
How do I win one of these? How do I get at least one victory point?
So, the resources that you would build from the board.
Okay.
So you put these numbers on the board. It's going to take a long time to set up with all this stuff out.
Okay.
You have to do the pieces.
But, ooh, different dice? Are there different, like,
yeah, so
dice?
It's a dual.
There are no streamlined version of this game?
Okay. All right, hang on.
No streamline. This is going to take a process to set
up. I want to be a knight. Can I be a knight?
So you get the knight. So
okay.
The sheep, wheat, and ore of these cards, right?
That's a development card.
Okay,
gives you a development card.
Okay.
So sheep, you trade it in. Wheat.
I mean, how many seconds till Jaylen Brown checks out on
this? it takes him a minute. I don't know why there's no
when you try and describe this to your teammates and get them to play with you, what's that like?
I say it's a board game that takes a little bit to to get started. But once you get started, it's a great game.
I can see that. All right.
Yeah.
So now is this a lifetime of gaming that led you to Catan, or are you – Did you like do Magic the Gathering like back in the day and stuff like that? Or
honestly, so I got introduced to this in college.
Okay.
At first, most of the games I played were Monopoly, Scattergory, Scrabble, stuff like that. I was big into board games growing up.
Okay.
But and card games especially. Card games I'm very big.
Like which ones? Like
I play Pitch, Spades, Rum, Gin. I was about to say Tonk, Euchre.
Like
I play
Yu-Gi-Oh. Okay. Did you ever do that? Like
Yu-Gi-Oh, Pokemon.
Oh really? Yeah, what's the most valuable card you got?
Right now I have a Mewtwo. First edition.
Mewtwo's a legendary. Yes. I know that. I have two 13-year-olds. Legendary Mewtwo. Very important.
I just bought 3 boxes of Shining Face, Hidden Face, but also want to probably do a Fossil first edition as well as a couple others. So I'm in the process of collecting right now because I lost my entire collection back in the day because my brother and I had this huge binder full of Pokemon cards.
Okay.
I think it got tossed out.
How much is that worth? Like $10 or?
No, I know way more than just 10. But then next thing you know, we had a collection of Yu-Gi-Oh cards, but they were all worn because we play with them all the time.
Sure. Okay. Sure. Yeah, so you can't sell those.
Takes the value.
It's more so nostalgia. So we had that, and it's in my dad's house. It's in a little safe, like not even a safe. Okay. What would you call it? Like a lockbox?
Yeah,
like
sure.
Wooden lockbox.
Yeah,
where it's literally just cards stacked together like this. Lined up.
Just one Snorlax after the next, right after.
Oh, no, that's Yu-Gi-Oh cards. The Snorlax was the binders.
Psyduck, and then you move on,
yeah,
right?
I said Pokemon, you got to keep in the binders.
All right. Have you ever played a real man's game?
What's a real man's game?
Dungeons and Dragons.
Dungeons and Dragons.
Have you ever played that one?
Played it.
You've never played
it? But I've always wanted to play it.
Really?
Guess what? Today is your day.
Today's the day?
You, Grant Williams, are a chaotic good high elf.
What am I?
John Wallach, you are a neutral good hill dwarf. And
I'm going to be the hill dwarf.
I am your dungeon master.
Oh, you're the dungeon master. Right. Oh, what gave you the power to be the dungeon
master? By all means,
I don't think I can be the dungeon master. Okay. Okay. I don't know enough. Williams,
you got to make a map. You got a map?
I've got a map. Shut your mouth. I know I'm the dungeon master. I'm shooting orc spells at your face.
What kind of spells are you shooting?
You gelatinous cube.
All right.
So, Grant, here's what's up. All right. You ready? In the city of Neverwinter, a dwarf named Grundin, Roxia, asks you to bring a wagon load of provisions to the rough-and-tumble settlements of Phandalin. But look! Oh, no, it's the man Caius. He attacks. If you roll more than a 7, you shall defeat thy man Caius. What shall you do? What say you, high elf, chaotic good wizard? Oh, a six.
What is a 6?
You have been struck down by the goblin ambush, and you shall be sent to the swarthy Eldrin of Magstragamascalia.
That's not good. So I'm on myself. You failed miserably, and now I'm on my own.
Is there not a reroll concept?
Yes.
Sure.
Wow, sure. Good turn.
It's the first time you've ever played.
This dude's pretending.
Oh, it's a 1. That's even worse.
That's a 13.
That's a third right there.
I could have sworn it was something different.
That's
on me.
And 13.
Plus 2 for dexterity points.
Plus 2 for dexterity.
So, Grant, I have a feeling. Oh, I'm sorry. What was your name? You didn't come up with a name for your high elf wizard category.
Georgian.
You're Georgian?
Georgian.
Georgian.
Yes.
Okay.
That's good.
Georgian, the high elf wizard, you have defeated the man Caius with your roll of the 13, and now to Burger King we shall go to celebrate with some
onion rings. We shall.
Well, I will, Grant, I just want you to know, now that you've authorized me to invite Jaylen Brown to your Catan game, if he says yes, I will come and find you and let you know.
Yeah.
Chances are I won't see you by the end of the day, I'm sure.
Hey, listen, hopefully I will. We'll be walking right back. Next thing you know, he says yes, we're making it happen.
Perfect.
Sam, who do we have at the crib that time? It was Sam, his girlfriend.
Okay.
A couple others.
You said Cornette, right?
Corn. We haven't played in the facility. We played in the facility with Corn. I haven't played at home with Corn.
Okay.
So who all came that day? That was a while ago. We need to do another board game night.
Yeah.
Board game, video game, card game night. That's the best way to do it.
Fair enough.
Mark is involved. It'll get intense.
Oh, yeah. I'm down.
It'll get intense.
Marcus, no. So Smart will play. Smart actually said he wants to play.
Said he wants to and has played and will play.
He said that... He said any game, he loves board games, card games. He said he's played this before, which I don't believe him.
If you could create a character for Marcus Smart, what would he be? Would he be a paladin?
He'd be the dwarf.
I was going to say, he'd be a hill dwarf for sure.
Is there a nickname he would have? What was his name?
Ooh. Torvald.
Torvald
the dwarf.
I want you to know every time we play a highlight of him, I'm going to say, this is Torvald the hill dwarf.
Torvald for three.
That's a perfect name for him. You'll see his hair. You can see the dwarf in the face.
Well, Grant,
it's nice to meet you.
Hope you have a great season. We got a game again, my friend.
Let's do it.
All right. Good to see you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
That's hard on the ears.
More Tusher and Rich.
Ooh, that gets your back hair going.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oof, I don't care for that at all.
This is something new, the Casper Slide Part 2, featuring the Platinum Band. And this time, we're gonna get funky. 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 Everybody clap your hands.
I think there's an episode of the Detroiters where they, it's a, like they're honoring some dude's dad, and they just keep breaking it.
Yeah. This song is at every bad. It's like, what song was it the other day that we were playing? Oh, it was, do you remember the 21st day of September, whatever this?
Oh, yeah.
That's when you know you're at a bad event. This is when you know you're at a bad event, when this song is played.
I'm going to push back on the Earth, Wind, and Fire.
So will I.
I'm going to push back on the Earth, Wind, and Fire hatred. You're
this guy's
wrong.
Called, you know what his name is? Well, it's called the Cha-Cha Slide.
Actually, oh,
yeah.
By Mr. C, the Slide Man.
This song.
Of course.
I beg you to say anything else he's done.
Well, I mean, once you've labeled yourself the Slide Man.
He's the Slide Man.
This
slide
is the part. The right. Ugh.
Crisscross. Crisscross.
And no one teaches you this. You just have to go to weddings to watch an episode of Detroit.
I don't want anyone telling me what to do with the dance unless his name is Little John. That's it. He's the only one who's allowed to yell out instructions on a dance. Now, turn this off. I can't take it anymore.
Do you think if I Google Silver Spoons breakup ballad that it would come up?
Yes, there's no question. There's got to be an internet website that's as obsessed with sitcoms as I know you are. But somebody who actually puts it all out there. There's that dude, the TV Guide guy that we've talked to before.
Oh, yeah, TV Bob. Is that the guy with the Hawaiian shirt?
No. The TV Guide.
That's Movie Bob, sorry.
Yeah, it's Movie Bob.
My mistake. I apologize.
Don't you besmirch Movie Bob.
I'm not besmirching anyone. I got it wrong.
If
you can't find it on the web, YouTube usually has it. Someone has put that online.
So it was like a breakup ballad, and you think it was Corey Hart of Sunglasses at Night?
No.
Was it John Waite's Missing You? I kind of get those two mixed up.
You get John Waite's mixed up with Corey Hart?
Yeah, a little bit.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
John Waite's a little more credibility.
Well, John Waite ended up joining the boys of Journey and starting Bad English. And came out with the hit When I See You Smile.
I remember that.
Oh, my God. I like that song so much.
I can face the world.
You know, do you think that when they're writing those songs that they're just like, what dumb broad is going to buy this thing?
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah.
Because can you imagine if you had a friend that was like, I don't know, dude, just when she smiles.
You know,
it's really something
else.
Yeah, you'd just be like, okay, we're not friends anymore. Do you really like her smile? Do you? Can you face the world now? Face my fist.
The world. You want the world to face your fist.
Yeah. By the way, be listening at 7:55 this morning for your chance to score one pair of tickets to 3 nights of Dropkick Murphy's sold-out hometown run. And that's just the name of it. I think they called it the sold-out hometown run. I mean, can you really think that they're going to sell out at St. Patrick's Day? March 17th and 18th at the MGM Music Hall Fenway, and March 19th at the House of Blues. Celebrate St. Patrick's Day with the Dropkicks. Details and tickets at Ticketmaster.com. That's coming up at 7:55. The big story coming out of the Patriots is there dissension between their quarterback and the team? Obviously, we know that Mac Jones... A lot of people calling Mac Jones a pussy on the internet, which I don't understand at all.
I heard people on this station making fun of Mac Jones for the pictures where he was in pain going down to the locker room, and I'm like... Are you out of your mind?
In all seriousness, what is the what's the deal? Like, what did he do wrong?
Is that a real quarterback, I don't know, shouldn't act that way? Like, shouldn't be screaming in pain?
Well, you can't control your
You can't control your
face.
Pain. I know.
Okay, so you know how there's, like, acting in movies? Mm-hmm. And it's not real?
Ron is dead.
What they... Yes. Oh, yeah, right. Well, right. Well, what they try to do with movies is the reason actors can do it is because as humans... We react to things in a certain way. So what Mac Jones was doing was an involuntary reaction to a very painful injury.
Right. I mean, this is one of those things where just sitting at home.
Wait. I'm very confused by this.
Yeah.
So he hurts himself and he was too demonstrative?
Is that he should not have been handling himself that way.
Why?
They're making fun of him screaming the AP pictures, I think is what everyone's talking about. Where
the
he
one
was
where he's being carried into the
well,
tunnel.
Then someone carried, should take a metal. Well, they shouldn't do this, but I mean, this is just figurative. Don't do this.
Yes.
Is take an aluminum baseball bat in the ankle and then go, like, see what your face does.
Those pictures were taken, what? 2 minutes after a 300-pound dude bent his leg completely the wrong way.
And that, he wasn't crying like about like emotions.
No, he was screaming in pain because a part of his had been ripped up there.
And you know my opinion on football players. There is this, this is not injury-wise, but there is this ability that they have just to break down crying like psychopaths. Like, I mean, they're always
the
crying.
Emotional imbalance that you wouldn't think was there.
Sure.
Like Quinnen Williams, for instance,
yes.
On this Jet sideline looked like he was going to cry.
Yeah.
When he was yelling at the defensive
bizarre
line coach.
Stuff. Yes.
And so that has always fascinated me. But now we're in the business of criticizing someone whose face is involuntarily expressing pain. That's very interesting to me because I'm no big Mac Jones fan, but I don't know what you want the guy to do. He was in pain. As someone who was just experiencing very, very similar pain, I can tell you that there is, there's nothing you can do about it. But anyway, so they have this surgery that they can do, and it's something that the quarterback Tua had. It's something
Jalen Hurts
had.
Tightrope.
It's called tightrope surgery. Yes. And obviously those guys played at Alabama. And in the case of Tua, he got hurt in the SEC championship game and was able to come back for the semifinal game and play in that and the championship game. So what they do is it's fairly, I guess, easy. They thread something through your ligaments. They put a couple screws in.
It takes less than 30 minutes apparently to do the entirety of the surgery.
And then you go back and they take the screws out and you're done. And there is. Now, Mac Jones got a second opinion, which I think your agent pretty much is like, get a second opinion.
He's getting one, and there was a report that there was a little bit of an at odds between the Patriots and him. Obviously, it wasn't so big of a deal that they didn't let him do it, so he went and got this opinion, and it's from a guy who did these very surgeries. So, as a matter of fact, he helped out. I think he was Tua's guy, right?
Yeah,
didn't he do Tua's surgery?
And then he did the Achilles for... Durant. Yep. So anyway, all right. So here's the deal, though. If he now here's where we can speculate. And Rich brought it up, and I thought it was a good point. Is that if Mac Jones chooses not to get the surgery, and this is no big deal, like this isn't this surgery isn't something that's gonna debilitate you later in life. I mean, it just seems like it helps the healing process.
Not that I know of. I mean,
No. It doesn't. I mean, look at Hurts and Tua. I mean, I think they're thriving right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think anyone's ever said, like, well, your ankle, like, it's... I guess you could be scared you'll get a staph infection.
And the fact that he's going to this guy who's done it before does say to me that at least he's open to it.
But if he doesn't get the surgery, that's when you can start speculating.
Yes.
Because if he doesn't get the surgery... Then is that more evidence that he is upset about what's going on with the Patriots right now in terms of leaving him vulnerable?
Yep. If you were him and you felt that this team was putting you in a position week after week to get injured with an offense or a line that hasn't quite been instructed properly in order to keep him safe, and that you realize that you are putting yourself in harm's way, this team is putting yourselves in harm's way week after week while they try to figure things out. I mean, are you rushing to come back?
Well,
if you're him?
He, a second-year quarterback shouldn't be in the business of doing something like that. And if that's the case, if he does not get this surgery, then I think it is fair to speculate what the hell's going on, because yeah, I think it does speak of this.
If you don't trust the people around you, then it is your business.
Yeah, but...
And you view it as being a second-year quarterback doesn't have a right to do that. He looks at it as, this is my life.
I know.
Like, I could get ruined.
I realize that, but it's not to that level. I don't think that it's to that level, and... If I was the Patriots, if he doesn't get this surgery and I'm the Patriots, I'm pretty upset, because you're telling me that you just don't want to play.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that he has a right to be worried? Do you think that what has been put in front of him is capable enough?
No. Does he have a right to be worried? Yeah, but I don't think that worry supersedes getting back onto the field.
Well, what I think is scary.
Like him getting on the field doesn't. Like, the percentage chances aren't like he's going to, like, something terrible is going to happen to him.
I mean, he's had 2 out of 3 games where he was so injured that he couldn't speak to the media.
Yeah, I know, but he plays football.
But Mac last year took some huge hits.
He did?
And still spoke to the media afterwards and was still okay enough to be able to do it. This seems to be almost a different level this season.
Yes.
I mean, it's not like he's not tough. He's proven how tough he is.
I didn't say he wasn't tough, but if I'm the Patriots and I'm paying you, you're in the business of playing football for me. And I don't think Mac Jones is in a position where he should be behaving in that manner. Well, I think that here's the deal. Listen, the Patriots have screwed a lot of things up this year. They've been screwing up for a couple years now. From the Brady thing to the free agency thing to everything else. But, I mean, they're not, like, I don't think they're being negligent. You know, I don't think they're negligent in that, you know, they're putting him in a position where he's, you know, got any more chance of getting injured than anyone else. I mean, that's Russell Wilson shenanigans. And then also, okay, so you're a leader of the team, right? Mm-hmm. And you're telling the offensive line, like, go screw. Like, I don't trust you, guy. I mean, the whole thing is you're telling the coaching staff you don't trust them. You're telling the offensive line you don't trust them.
And this,
if nothing else, it's very messy.
And this is a big if, because the way that this whole thing the story has evolved was that it started with Mac Jones would prefer the natural healing, which takes about 8 weeks, as opposed to the surgery. But then the news broke yesterday that he's getting a second opinion from a guy who's an expert in these surgeries.
Yeah, and that's,
so to me, it says that he's probably like, you know what? I want to get back out there for my guys. It seems like things have evolved. But you're right. If he ends up not doing it,
then you got
it raises a lot of questions. And also,
you're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah. And then on top of that, Fred, you said it best. We played that clip from Mike Lombardi this morning on his podcast. And Mike Lombardi is laying the blame on Mac Jones for how poorly the offense has been.
And Mike Lombardi is in the pocket of the Patriots. And that's just the way it is.
He's a megaphone. He is basically the carrier pigeon for the messages that the Patriots want to send out.
And that is non-debatable.
Nope.
I mean, he is nauseatingly usually pro-Patriot. And I don't think he's ever talked about a Patriot in the fashion that he talked about
no.
Mike Jones.
No.
And you got the clip? Just play the clip. You got to remember,
New England is not
a guy who makes a living kissing everyone's ass in this organization.
New England is not doing anything they stand for, Femi. They want to avoid losing before they win. And as much as I like Mac Jones, I thought Mac Jones would protect the ball and play smarter. And now he's hurt with a high ankle. You know, to me, he was in danger of really either changing what he did, or he's going to lose his job. He's not going to play in the NFL. You're not going to play in the NFL. You keep turning the ball over like he was. They averaged 7-1 a play in the game. In 2 of the 3 games, if they don't turn the ball over, they could be 3-0. I think he looks good, other than he's making stupid mistakes, and he's not good enough to overcome bad mistakes. Like, part of the allure for me with Mac Jones is he was going to be a smart player, protect the football at all cost, you know? But he's playing out of control. He's playing that, like, what does he think he is? He's throwing the ball up for grabs.
What analysis, by the way. If they didn't turn the ball over, they'd be 3-0. Wow, that's what analysis
ifs
by Lombardi.
And buts, candy and nuts.
No, just like, yeah, no kidding. Really? You know, if we didn't allow all them touchdowns, you know, I mean, what dumb analysis. Yeah. And then he follows it up with that groundbreaking Mac Jones was smart with the football and not, hugely physically gifted. Like, thanks, Mike. That isn't something I've heard from every analyst ever. But he is. But the odd thing is, I guess the queer thing, not the funny thing, the thing that's odd about it is that he's a mouthpiece of the Patriots. He is. He's, and you know, and you're savvy enough as fans that you know the guys that are in the pockets of certain teams, and Lombardi's in the pocket of the Patriots. And then if you really want to go crazy, you can start thinking, well, who told him to say that? And then you can start thinking, that reeks of Patricia.
Yeah,
reeks if of you the really man with the pencil behind his ear. Want to start getting crazy here, because someone told him something.
Yep. There's no question.
Because that's some half-ass analyzing right there.
Well, if he didn't turn the ball over, they'd be 3-0.
The other thing
if you could stop the run, you'd be 3-0. Like, okay. and you know, he's throwing the ball up for grabs. Yeah, they've discussed this. Big analyst. Ugh.
Well, it is. The other interesting thing that came out yesterday that I did not know about is that I guess a best-case scenario for all this is 2 weeks. What I'm hearing is that this surgery, if he gets the tightrope surgery, you could be back in as quick as 2 weeks. And this was the one that Tua got, and you guys said that he was hurt in the SEC championship game and was back by the championship game, right?
Yeah, I think
that's 4 weeks.
4 weeks.
Okay,
four weeks.
That's 4 weeks.
28 days.
So 28 days. It was 28 days there, but from what I've been reading, and I think I heard Tommy Curran say this yesterday, is that a best case scenario is 2 weeks with this surgery. Which is...
Sounds to me, though...
A lot better than...
If he's pushing back on having the surgery, I don't think it's going to be two.
I think, to me, it sounds like he was at first, and then he said, you know what, if the fact that he is speaking to a guy who did those surgeries and is an expert in it says to me that he's open for it,
I find it fascinating that all of these decisions have been made, or all of this has happened within the last 3 days... And Lombardi's already speaking about it on Tuesday, which means they had a discussion about the surgery on Monday. And then Mac Jones initially, as you said no. And then a phone call was immediately made to Lombardi to complain.
Yeah.
Because he started talking about it on Tuesday.
Yeah, started slamming the kid.
That's amazing that those kind of dominoes would fall that quickly.
And even though he did it in some like half-assed podcast thing that it was actually tough for Mike to find, I mean, he knew we would all find it. The Patriots knew we would all find it.
It sounds like they're guilting him into getting back on the field.
Yes.
Yes.
And that phone call wouldn't have been made if Mac was on board.
Also, it sounds like some people like Matt Patricia might be desperate for their jobs. And I say what you will. I know Bill Belichick's got him there. But Robert Kraft might look at that and go, Bill, you got to get rid of this guy. This is awful. I mean, that's somebody who wants everyone to think that it's not his fault.
Yeah, but Mac Jones or not, I mean, you're not making the playoffs.
And by the way,
do you play him against the Bears? The third game out is the Bears. I'm not playing him against the Bears. I'm protecting him.
I think it depends on how Hoyer looks. I mean, if what we think is true, and this team will do everything it can to not lose, if they win both these games or they split them, let's say they lose to Green Bay and they come back and they beat Detroit, then Hoyer stays as the quarterback. However, if they get run over in both of these games, and that's certainly possible, Detroit puts up points, and this team just gave up 37 last weekend. If they get blown out this weekend and next weekend with Hoyer at quarterback, I would imagine a full court press on Mac Jones to be back against the Chicago Bears.
It's the Browns, actually, but the Browns aren't world beaters. But the can you imagine if you lose at home to the Lions?
Oof. Although, as I said,
it's in play, Fred.
This year,
I know it's in play.
The Lions are interesting this year.
Yeah, well, yes. I mean, Campbell's actively trying to lose games, so we'll see about that.
We'll see if the Patriots can't take that out of his hands.
I mean, that Minnesota game is, what are you doing? Like, you're doing everything wrong.
Detroit can score points.
Yes, Goff has been playing well, and they have a relatively
they still look
Super Bowl quarterback,
Jared
Goff.
Even though DeAndre Swift was hurt last week, they were still able to score points. This defense is going to get tested both this week and next week, although Green Bay's offense hasn't been world beaters, but
you're not in two weeks. You're not beating the Packers with Hoyer. You're not going to Green Bay and winning that game. But if you lose to the Lions at home, that's a low.
And Mac Jones will be back at quarterback against Cleveland.
You're 1-4.
If he gets this surgery, I mean, this is what we're assuming is going to happen.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is the part of your schedule. I mean, this is after the Packers game, this is the part of your schedule that you should make a little bit of a run.
Yep.
So is it you have to wait and see how Hoyer looks? We all know he sucks. There's no evidence to make you think that Hoyer's going to be
horrible. I want to see how they try to
scheme. The last time Hoyer played at Green Bay, he suffered a broken left arm. I mean, this is bad.
I want to see what those geniuses put together, how they scheme this game. Is it going to be another one of their 50-50 balls thing?
No. A lot of running. Yeah. A lot of running and a lot of short passes. You think Devontae Parker is going to factor in at all this weekend?
No.
Exactly.
I don't think Aguilar is going to factor
you
in.
You might as well
weekend.
Sit Parker and Aguilar down and employ four tight ends.
Maybe they can throw more horizontal passes to Jonnu Smith, which he could not break a tackle.
Sure. Tight end around. Yeah, that's what you'll see. A lot of misdirection, a lot of short passes.
The freakishly athletic Jonnu Smith that can't break a tackle.
Yeah.
Yes, who can? How many times this year have you seen just him? Them trying to feed him the ball and him not being able to do anything with it. That was a tremendous signing. Congratulations to the Patriots. All right, we will be back. Maybe I'll get to my day yesterday.
Is it time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's time.
I mean, we gave you the specs. We gave you the speculation. The real question is, on the 24th of October, are you staying up for the entire Bears game? Because that is going to be an awful, awful, awful football game.
I'm not worried about that. I can't worry about that.
I think you stay up because there's at least a glimmer of hope you can get a win.
Because that is going to be a crappy game.
Just want a W.
If you go to that Bears game, God bless you. You're out there in late October, 11 o'clock at night, watching that garbage. Oof. There might be 180 yards total passing in that game. Oh, boy. That's going to stink. That game's going to stink. It's not like Sunday is going to be any great shakes either, and you get to hear Romo. I don't know. First down. All right. I'll catch you up with what was going on with me yesterday. A wonderful day for me yesterday. We'll have that for you in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's TNR.
It really is just a reality check of just how no one cares.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hello, everyone. Fred's Foot here. And I just wanted to let you all know, this ain't no cellulitis. This ain't no gout. This is a revolution. This is my emancipation. I'm leaving. Here I go. Come chop me off. I want Fred to know he's gonna lose his toes. Come chop me off, 'cause when I leave Fred's leg, he'll need a wooden peg. Alright, that's enough from me for now. We're in the hospital, so hopefully the next time you see me, we'll no longer be attached to Fred, and I'm on a tropical beach somewhere with an ice cold drink curled between my toes. Bye, everybody.
I have to admit, it has occurred to me that maybe this is a DA voodoo situation where he's like,
Credit to the Daily Grimes. They said that they made that instead of,
like,
please chop me off.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm sick of talking about this, and you guys might be getting sick of hearing about this.
Oh, no, not after what happened yesterday.
All right, so I got only 7 minutes? Okay. The this might be a two-parter going.
Maybe a cliffhanger.
Yeah. So anyway, a month ago, I did, my foot really hurt, and then the doctor said it was cellulitis. I took medicine, it went away, then it came back. And I went to a doctor, and they said, here, take this, and if it doesn't get better, you go to the hospital. So last week, I went to the hospital twice. Then at the final time I went to the hospital, they put an IV in my arm, and a nurse came by 3 days into injected the antibiotic into me. Mm-hmm. And it got better for like a day. But I was also taking steroids, and then it got better for a day. And then So Monday night, it started to really bother me again. And then yesterday, it killed. So a lot of people were like, hey, you know, I had my foot chopped off, or hey, I had a toe chopped off. So I'm like, all right, I got to take care of this.
Yeah.
So I go to the same hospital. It's $350 a time, every time you go there. And when I'm there, there's no way everyone's paying $350. There's no way. Mm-hmm. It's me paying the $350. I think there's a lot of people there's no way they're paying $350. So anyway, for the privilege of going there, it's $350. Now, my parents are in town. So my dad goes with me. Now, my dad had very bad gout, apparently, like 30 years ago. He had very bad gout. And the man was on a mission to, every time he heard gout, he would get very, very excited. So I go to the hospital, and we wait for 2 hours. Then they take me to triage, and they put a IV line in. Now, I'm not connected to anything. It's just the line, like mm-hmm. the needle.
Yeah.
Then they put me in another waiting room. And while I'm in triage, I am going to spare you the details, but I am going to tell you a part of a conversation I heard a woman saying with the intake nurse.
Okay.
She said, yes. And then once it came out, I played with it. And I am going to spare you what she was talking about. But she used the term, I played with it.
All right.
And then went on to describe the various things that were in it. The term, I played with it. And I'm not making that up. Because when you're in triage, you're facing at this particular dump, with the rudest pricks. You're facing the intake person.
Okay, all right.
And I get it. Like, it's busy. And I get it. Like, you know, it's a hassle. And, you know, not everyone's very nice.
Yeah.
But if someone's not being a dick to you, calm the F down. All right? Like I knew that they were going to sass me. And then when you get in, they're like, wait a second. They told you to come here. Yes, your doctor told me to come here. Like, wait, what planet are you on? Like, do you, like, look at me. I want to be at this hospital, you maniac. No, this is fun. No. I get it if you're, like, at, like, Space Mountain and someone keeps, like, cutting in front of the line. You go, oh, no, you've been on Space Mountain too many times. You get to the back of the line. Not, hey, I want to stay at the hospital all effing day with my 80-year-old father. This is a treat. I'm tricking you. I'm trying, and I love giving you my money, too. So my plan is to come here because I love your chairs. I love everything about it. I got news for you. I get you're busy. I get you that the industry kind of sucks. I get that you have to talk to someone who says they started playing with something that came out of their body. I get it. I get how gross it is. I believe me, and I can get to how gross it is because I experienced it. But I got news for you. If someone's not bothering you and they just go, here's what happened, stop with the questioning. Stop with like I'm pulling a fast one on you. No one wants to be there. This isn't some odd fetish I have to be talked down to by a bunch of pricks. One woman. And if anyone there knew who I was, there was one woman that I'm jumping ahead because I don't have much time, but I'll get back to this later in the show. But there was one nurse that was fantastic, and it was such a treat because she was actually nice to me. I like started falling in love with her. I was there for so long. So what I can tell you is, so they take me to triage and then they put me in another waiting room. And I'm in that waiting room for 3 hours. So 5 hours. And my father, it's like Viagra for him. He's fully aroused with this whole gout thing. And I had told him that my uric acid level was 9. And the last time I was there. So I went to the bathroom, which was very concerning for him. I had to pee a lot. And he did not like that at all. Okay. So he goes, I looked up your uric acid level and it's very high. And I go, that's not true. There's no way. It's very high. It's raised, but it's not very high. And he goes, Freddie, you're going to have to do something about this. You're going to have to get something medically done. And I went, where the hell do you think we are? I'm at the effing hospital. It's been 5 hours. Really? Really? This is a thought. What thought is in your head? I know my uric acid level, Dad. Like this is someone who, like...
That's a shirt.
No. But if I'm not paying any attention to it, how the hell do I know my uric acid level? You got to do so. And then I can't hear him. And this isn't his fault. But his voice is... he just doesn't talk. He can't
talk. John
Henryitis,
right. Yes.
Yeah. And I can't hear anything he's saying. Mm-hmm. What? 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 You're going to have to do something about this. Are you kidding me? This is the third time I've been in the hospital, you maniac. I got to do something about it. What the hell do you think we're doing here? I go, please go home. Please go home. No. Well, you'll use that against me. And you're going to use it against me. I thought it would take a day, but it did not. All right. I will.
I need to hear about because the text chain last night
yep.
was just... It was so strange, and it was like better than a great like a suspense novel.
All right. Well, I'll continue my tale.
Okay, because the way that the night ended is, I need to hear details.
Yeah, it was a real humdinger. A bunch of, and then it wouldn't be so bad if they weren't such dicks. like I get it. It's busy. Like I'm not doing anything to you. I find it very difficult to forget it. I mean, I was such a dick to customers when I was a waiter, but if you were like nice and just left me alone, I wasn't actively a prick to you. At least I don't think I was. Caller number 10, right? I mean, I didn't even get on Nick for not getting me cranberry juice. Caller number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line. 617-931-0985 will score a pair of one pair of tickets. The 3 nights of Dropkick Murphy sold out hometown run. March 17th and 18th at the MGM Music Hall in Fenway, and March 19th at the House of Blues. Celebrate St. Patrick's Day with the Dropkick. Details and tickets at Ticketmaster.com. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.